chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Well, having began by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And this is the word of the Lord.
Let's start with a word of prayer. Amen. Gracious Father, as we come before your word, we ask that our hearts will be open and our minds will be attentive to your voice. Speak to us through your truth and by your Spirit, and transform us to be more like Jesus. And may your word guide us, convict us, and encourage us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Imagine this. A guy just pulled from a sinking ship, desperate for air. You would think he would be thankful, right? He just was saved. But instead, this guy, he dives right back into the turbulent ocean, convinced he can make it to the shore all on his own. Sounds crazy, right? And this is the kind of heartache that Paul feels here for the Galatians. He starts with a passionate outcry, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And these are not just words of some distant scholar or theologian. These are the words that come from a pastor whose heart is genuinely breaking with love for his people. The Galatians have exchanged the vibrant, life-giving power of grace for the exhausting, dead-end cycle of merely following rules. And so they began their journey, as Paul says, in the Spirit, but now they are trying to finish it by relying on their own efforts. And that, for Paul, doesn't make sense. He cannot believe that. And so, in our series that we are studying, and if you don't have your Bible, I don't have it as well. Oof. Bible separators, I have one. Oh, yes. We are studying right now grace that transforms. And it is this radical grace that transforms our hearts. It not just make up our hearts or just a painting our hearts. It transforms our hearts. So Paul today is confronting us. Will we live as children of promise, heirs of Abraham's faith, or we will crawl back to the prison of performance? And that's what this passage is going to show us. Notice how he starts in verses 1 to 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Again, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And here we see Paul doesn't mince words. It's directly, oh, foolish Galatians. The Greek word here is not just silly, but mindless. It's like he's telling them, are you losing your mind, in our common language? These are believers who saw Christ crucified, and the original is publicly displayed before them. Paul's preaching was so vivid, so raw, it was like holding up a 50-foot billboard of Jesus' broken body and telling them, this is what God did for you. Are you losing your mind again? They knew salvation was a gift. They felt the Spirit power when they first believed. And so why are they now acting like they need to earn what's already theirs? And that is the question that Paul is going to answer before our eyes. Let me put it this way. Imagine inheriting a mansion. The deeds of that mansion is in your name. The keys of that mansion are in your hand, but instead of moving in, you pitch a tent in the backyard and says, I'll sleep here until I have earned the right to live inside. What do you think about that? And that is what legalism does. It turns sons into squatters. That's why Paul is asking them, do you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And the answer is obvious. You don't achieve the Spirit. You receive the Spirit. You don't work to earn the Spirit of God dwelling in you and living in you. You receive it. It's a gift that God is giving to all those who believed. Yet the Galatians are treating sanctification like a self-help project. I will pray harder. I will fast longer. I will serve more. But the Spirit is not a down payment. The Spirit is the full price. So here is the tragedy. When we abandon the grace of belief, we don't just offend God. We exhaust ourselves. Remember, God was telling the people of Israel in the epistles, it's used again, by man will live by faith, not by works, not by your own effort. And if you try to live by works, that will not please my soul. That's what the psalmist is saying, and it's used in the New Testament. Because when we try to do that, we exhaust ourselves. Legalism is a cruel taskmaster. It's like running on a treadmill that is bolted to the floor. We sweat, we strain, but we never move an inch closer to God. And so, Paul continues in these verses, verse 4 to 5, says, "Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And the answer in 2025 has not changed. Is by faith. Always faith. Faith is not a one-time event. It is the oxygen of the Christian life. Think of a scuba diver 100 feet underwater. His tank is not a nice-to-have gadget. It is his lifeline. If he disregard the tank, for sure he will die. And that is what faith is. We don't start with faith and then gradually work as if the scuba diver thinks for a moment that he will gradually get used to breathing underwater. That's what Paul is telling them. That's silly of you. If you pull out that mask of oxygen, you will die. What are you trying to do? Paul says, we live by faith. We believe by faith, and now we live by faith. Every breath, every moment of our Christian life is by faith. The Galatians have forgotten this. They had reduced Christianity to a moral code. Don't drink. Don't dance. Don't chew. Instead, they were putting a big burden on others. Circumcised. Stop eating this. But Paul is telling them, rules cannot give you what faith gives you. Rules lead you to death, but faith leads you to life. And the only one who can do that in the human heart is the Holy Spirit. You can try harder to have life and to produce life in you, but that's only the work of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul says, God works miracles among them. He works miracles among you. He's not just talking about healing the sick. The greatest miracle is a heart that loves Jesus more than sin. The greatest miracle is a change of heart and desires in the human heart. But that is only the work of the Spirit. A friend of mine, Rocío Mónico in El Salvador, wrote a beautiful song about this same thing. And I try my best to translate a couple of paragraphs of this song. And this song says this: God has worked great wonders here. Miracles no words can trace. He fed the thousands with five loaves loaves. He turned the darkness into light. Blind eyes opened at his voice. Seas stood still beneath his hand. Aaron's staff, once dead, now bloomed. And Lazarus rose at his command. And the choir, the next paragraph says this: "But the greatest miracle I have ever known, greater still, this truth I own, is the miracle he has done, changing this cold heart of a stone. And now I see him, and now I know him, and now I walk with him each day. This is the greatest miracle. He has always made me his." Almost exactly the songs that we were singing this morning. Friends, the same Spirit who split seas and raised Lazarus, the Spirit of God who turned darkness into light, is still breathing life into heart of stone today. And here is the mystery. He doesn't just change our hearts today. He fuels it with the power we need to live in the Spirit. Like a diver clinging to his tank, to believe God is not just a moment when we believe first. To believe daily is the miracle of staying alive. Every gasp of "I can't" becomes an opportunity for the Spirit of God in you. Every step away from sin is a declaration, "I can't," by his Spirit in me, "can." And here is an essential point for all of us. The Spirit does not serve our own plans. He fulfills God's purpose. So when you pray, "Lord, I cannot love my enemy," his plan for you enables you to offer love. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. When you face temptation and despite every instinct, you choose to walk away from sin, that is too the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you create by your own strengths. It is a gift that you receive and that you need to start to use daily. Consider the challenges of parenting. There are times when we may feel pressured to take extreme measures to ensure our child behaves as we wish. Yet, that too is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to give gentle guidance and patience to nurture our child. And it is the same Spirit that is going to be working in our child as well. In the same way, within a marriage, we might be tempted to demand immediate change or react harshly during conflict. But instead, the Holy Spirit can inspire us to offer forgiveness and understanding, transforming those moments into opportunities for growth and love. And that is what the Bible calls sanctification. Sanctification of, or if I like to call it, holification, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit working powerfully in us. Notice the last three verses, verse 6 to 9, where it says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now then, that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would testify the Gentiles by faith. Notice what God did in the Old Testament, in the first book of the Bible. He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Could you believe that? The gospel was present in the first pages of the Bible. So then, verse 9, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Can you imagine what Paul is saying here? Before circumcision, before the law, before the Ten Commandments, before Israel existed, God made a promise to Abraham, not a contract. A promise. Let me tell you a story. A father sits his own son and says, son, when I die, everything I have is yours. The house, the land, the family name, all is yours. And this son panics and says, but dad, what do I need to do? Do I need to fix the roof? Do I need to pay you by cleaning the house or cutting the grass? And the father smiles. You are missing the point. You are my son. The work is not to earn the inheritance. It is to steward what is already yours. That is Abraham. God didn't say to Abraham, obey and I will bless you. He said, I will bless you, and through you I will bless the world. Think about it. The law came 430 years later. And it was given to the people of Israel as a fence, not as a foundation. The foundation was by faith. You are counted righteous. But here the Galatians treated the fence like it was the farm that they inherit. for us, my dear brothers and sisters, our names are written in God's will document. Our names are in the testament of God. You believe that? Not because we are Jewish, not because we are moral, but because we believe God. When God promised Abraham a family, God was thinking of us. A Gentile, a sinner, a mess. Now grafted in by grace and by grace alone. We are not a stepchild. We are heirs with Abraham of the promise of God. What a beautiful story, eh? And so how do we live this out? Well, three things. Let us kill the try harder gospel. When we are stuck in sin, say anger, do not just pray, God, take away this. But ask God, God, what am I worshiping here? Maybe we are bitter because someone blocked our comfort. Maybe we are bitter because we are looking for approval. Or maybe we are bitter because we are looking for control. That's why we have this anger. But those are just functional saviors, idols you are trusting to make you whole. But the answer is not willpower. Mm-mm. It is dependence. Go back to the cross. See Jesus crucified for that very idol. That the Spirit repeat to you the gospel. It is by grace. It is by grace. And that's the second thing that I want to share with you. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. Sanctification is not moving past the gospel, but deeper into it. Every morning, preach, I am worse than I feared, but more love than I dreamed. Again, every morning, I am worse than I feared, but I am more love than I am dreamed. Write that in your mirror every morning. Read it there. I'm worst, but I am loved beyond what I can understand. And third, lastly, celebrate your new family. The gospel is not just for you. It's for everyone. The addict, the Pharisee, is for me. It's for everyone. And when you look around this room, you are seeing Abraham's heirs. Not by blood, but by faith. So we can love each one here. And we can forgive quickly those around us here, because we are a family. That's why Paul ends with this verse, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham. The spell is broken. The treadmill is smashed. We are not slaves. We are sons and daughters. We are children of the promise. I don't know if you have read the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Or at least you have seen the movie by C.S. Lewis. And there is Edmund, one of the main characters there. And he makes a very, very bad choice. He betrays his own siblings for some Turkish delight candies given to him by the white witch. You remember that? Instead of punishing him harshly, Aslan, which is a symbol of Christ, shows him mercy, taking the punishment that Edmund deserves by dying in his place during a dark night in the stone of sacrifice. And when Edmund wakes up in the morning, unaware of all these events, he is not forced to bow or beg for forgiveness. Instead, he is given a new title. He is made a prince of Narnia. That is us. Grace doesn't make us a better servant. It makes us royal children of God. So we are invited to live like one through the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us. Let's pray. Father, maybe, just maybe, we have played the fool as well. Trading your feast for fast food. And we want to ask you forgiveness. Please, Lord, unshackle us from the lie that we must earn your love. And awaken us to our inheritance, to walk, to work, and worship as children of the promise, who are fully known by you, fully loved by you, and fully free by you. In Jesus' name, we pray, Amen. Amen. Let's stand up.